Hello again. This week marks the halfway point of Lent. It is also the week when the vernal equinox occurred. Yes, folks, spring has sprung. So as to set the tone for today's reflections, allow me to use my friend Marv Heil's prosaic images about spring. Marv wrote, quote, "Winter completes herself. Yet almost as an afterthought, she may in fits and starts turn around and launch one last tremor of cold. Nevertheless, something is inexorably moving in us. The daylight is 2.5 hours longer than when we began our trek in January. Day and night divide down the middle in equinoxial harmony and balance. Nature, from which we came, completes itself in us, calling us to yield to the rising tide of light and life. To defer to spring is to become aware that we are part of something much larger than ourselves. Even the sun that we welcome back is itself only a tiny candle in the cosmic winds. This spring that we experience is not just outside the window in the early flowering from trees, but in us as well. The world lies in the embrace of grace. Spring rises out of love. Newborn lambs find the soft young grass a bed. We are all together, wrapped in a great mystery. We have lived to see another season, carried along with fast-moving skies, sustained by forces unseen. We learn the wisdom of letting go and being carried." Unquote. Heisel's image of newborn lambs implies a mother caring for her lamb, and it brings to mind the first reading from Isaiah, where we read, quote, "Can a mother ever forget her infant, be without tenderness for her child of her womb? Even should she forget, I will never forget you." Unquote. Child psychologists tell us how important it is that a mother mirrors or gazes at her infant. That is to say, the child needs to sense the gaze of love when looking into her mother's face. Without such mirroring, a child could well fail to have a secure attachment. Sadly, many people, young and old alike, seek to have that sense of mirroring of God's eternal and loving gaze. Perhaps they never really experienced such mirroring in their formation, and thereby never felt secure attachment to the church. Then again, perhaps they once had it, but they became alienated from a community of faith. Certainly this significant drop in believers and churchgoers, both nationally and globally, indicates this alienation, not just in Catholicism, but in other communities of faith. Still, the image of a mother's love offered by Isaiah seeks to reveal that God's love transcends the best of the ways of love that this world can offer. Isaiah portrays Israel as a nursing child in her mother's arms, arms that represent God's embrace. The child is wholly dependent on his mother and trusts that it will never be forsaken by her. The image of God's faithful love continues in John's Gospel, today's Gospel, where the writer, while abstract, suggests the image of a mirror. As another commentator writes, quote, "There are several mirrorings going on here, and one false one that is warned against. First, Jesus feels himself mirrored by God. The Father goes on working, and so do I," Jesus says. "And he even," quote, "dares to speak of God as his own Father and equal, which deeply upsets the religious establishment." Two, then we have this son mirroring us, the readers, and granting light to those he wishes. Jesus is the two-way mirror, looking in both directions, as it were. Three, we also have God refusing to mirror us negatively. The Father judges no one, and the Son passing it on and allowing the reader to bypass condemnation and passing from death to life. Now, the message has met its mark, and its mirror, their transformative imaging has been passed to you and I, And now we must not condemn because we have not been condemned. If you read the entire text as a whole, today's gospel, in the light of the primal and positive mirroring of God, Jesus being the two-way mirror in between, to honor the Son is to receive his passing on of the divine image. You will see that the real import is that each of us is our own truthful judge and our own best friend if we but look honestly into the perfect and compassionate divine mirror, mirrored to us by Jesus the Son. Folks, allow me to conclude using Thomas Merton's spring-like images of seeds and soil. For Merton, our faith invites us to allow our souls to be receptive to the seeds of the Spirit, like spring soils of nature, as we receive God's love. In his classic text, Seeds of Contemplation, Merton writes, quote, "Every moment in every event of our life on earth plants something in our soul. For just as the wind carries thousands of winged seeds, so each moment brings with it germs of spiritual vitality to come to rest imperceptibly in our minds and wills. Most of these unnumbered seeds perish and are lost because we are not prepared to receive them. For such seeds as these cannot spring up anywhere except in the good soil of freedom, spontaneity, and love. The mind that is the prisoner of conventional ideas and the will that is the captive of its own desire cannot accept the seeds of an unfamiliar truth and a supernatural desire. I must learn, therefore, to let go of the familiar and the usual and consent to what is new and unknown to me. I must learn to leave myself in order, to find myself yielding to the love of God. For I were looking for God, every event and every moment would sow in my will grains of God's life that would spring up one day in a tremendous harvest." Unquote. Friends, may the seed sown in this Lent bring you to a bountiful harvest this Easter.